Jesus Christ is waiting for you in living room, kitchen, and bedroom, and closet, bathroom, whatever your thing is, I don't know. But wherever you are, Jesus Christ says he's waiting for you every single day. What pains my heart as we're washed in the blood and there's Jesus waiting, arms open, the invitation's out, and we keep passing him by day after day after day.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're so thankful that you've joined us here today. Here at Live in the Light, we believe that radical transformation comes about through the revelation of God's truth. What we want to see more than anything else is your hearts lifted to the Lord Jesus Christ as God's word is open verse by verse, and you are challenged with its great truths. We're in the middle of a series entitled, Oh, the Blood, that focuses on one of those great truths, the atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Now, this is a work that many of us know. It's also a work that many of us forget, and also a work that many of us need to be re-educated in and to dwell on so deeply and to savor its great truths, to find fire in our hearts for the faith that we love and the Savior we worship. That's what we're praying here that God would do through your life in this series in Hebrews 9 and 10. Now, listen, if you're sitting there and you would love to get a copy of the entire series, or even after today's message, find yourself in a place of wanting a little bit more and wanting to download that message, make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight, that's LIGHD.ca. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Well, today we're going to Oh the Blood and living it out. Let's go to today's message and our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons.
But I have to admit here, this is where my heart starts to hurt a little bit. My heart starts to hurt when I think of all the blood of Jesus Christ that has been poured out for us and his sacrifice, opening up the very presence of God, the suffering he went through, the call for us to draw near, the fact that the house of God is open and all we have to do is respond to the invitation to draw near. My heart starts to hurt when I consider how prone to wander we really are. My heart starts to hurt when I think about how quickly we draw near to things like sporting events or shopping malls, how quickly we draw near to couches hour after hour after hour. We draw near to fridges. We draw near to computers and tablets and phones more than we'd ever like to admit, and yet we're not willing to draw near to God. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, the single greatest difference between a life thriving in Jesus Christ and a life barely getting by in Jesus Christ is whether or not we will pick up the invitation to draw near to him. Without a shadow of a doubt, the single greatest difference of a Christian life thriving in him or struggling in Christ is will we pick up the invitation to draw near in Christ? Why? Why? Because God is power, because Christ is joy, because he is faith, he is truth. Christ is strength, he is perspective, he is life. If we don't draw near to him, we lose out on all these things. We lose out on the ability to live this life the way God has intended because we're not seeking his strength, but seeking someone else's or somewhere else's strength in that way. Here's what we have to do this Christmas season. This Christmas season is an opportunity to draw near. I want you to think about this, and I hope this sits on your mind in these next several weeks and really for the rest of your life. When we wake up in the morning, if we get the blood, if we get that we're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, as we wake up in the morning, we have this on our heart. We hear the invitation to draw near. We know we're sinners deserving of death, but Christ has saved us, all his righteousness, all his doing. And we wake up and we picture Jesus Christ waiting for us to draw near down in the family room, let's say. And we draw near to him, and we're so excited about that because he is life and he is strength. So it was just yesterday morning where I got up early. Here's a little tip from me. If you go to bed early, you usually wake up early. Imagine that. And I woke up early and I was sitting there. Well, I'm up. I might as well get up. But I had this passage on my heart all week and draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith. And I got up and I said, well, let's go seek the Lord. And it was pretty early. And I went down there and got a little cup of orange juice, drank that. I got a hot cup of coffee. Got the hot cup of coffee and I did my Bible and my journal. And 50 minutes turned into 30 minutes and turned into 45 minutes and turned into 60 minutes. And my kids were still sleeping. Woo! all right? And there I was, and the minutes kept rolling by, and I was drawing near to my Lord. And what happens as you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And all of a sudden, his voice and his strength, his encouragement, his love, his presence, his perspective, his life starts to flow down into my mind and my heart and through my soul, and the perspective that is there in the journal that starts being written up in, because that's what happens. Jesus Christ is waiting for you in living room, kitchen, and bedroom, and closet, bathroom, whatever your thing is, I don't know. But wherever you are, Jesus Christ says he's waiting for you every single day. What pains my heart is we're washed in the blood and there's Jesus waiting, arms open, the invitation's out, and we keep passing him by day after day after day. It hurts my heart because then we don't get it. Now, if some of you are feeling guilt right now, that's the wrong feeling. Conviction's a great thing. Satan wants to say, oh yeah, you can never do that. You're like a pastor up there. You stink. You're da, 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 da. That's a lie from hell. In Jesus' name, I just say, be gone. I don't care what happened yesterday or last week in your life or last month or the whole past of your life. I don't care how a mess that is. Today's a new day. And today's the invitation where the Lord himself again is calling you and asking you to draw near. Why? Because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. And here you are again. Here you are again, sitting under the word of God and the invitation to draw near. Why? Because he loves you. Because he wants you to be so close to him. Why? Because you, by grace through faith, if you've placed your life in the hands of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you are a child of God. You have been washed by the blood. And the invitation now, Jesus says, I want you to be with me. Jesus, every moment, waiting, arms open, sitting, my child, won't you come? My child, won't you come? But notice what needs to happen in verse 22. Notice, let us draw near with a true heart. You can't fake this. This isn't a game. This isn't hypocritical. This isn't pharisaical. A sincere heart, a broken heart. You're not checking off a box. You're moving towards him because you genuinely love him and you know what he's done for you. Notice this, draw near, true heart, full assurance of faith. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us an assurance of faith. Why? Because his blood is our guarantee. So we know the holy places is open. We know our sins are remembered no more. We know we become children of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. And so therefore, we draw near not just with faith, we draw near not just with an assurance of faith, notice the text, we draw near with a full assurance of faith. You see, put that up on your wall. Put that in the face of the enemy's lies. Put that up somewhere you can see it. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, today is the day that I get to draw near in full assurance of faith. And then notice what it says in the end of verse 22. It says, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. You see, this is the gospel. This is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're washed by the blood. Our conscience is clean from evil. When you're driving over the border, let's say from the US into Canada, and you have stuff to declare, and you're not fully honest about what you're declaring, inside you're like, oh no, he's gonna catch me. And you have this nervous look on your face and just like, shame on you, by the way, all right? But if you're doing that, you have a conscience and it just feels awful. If you have any sense of the Spirit of God with you, if you don't have a conscience and you're doing this stuff, man, I'm really scared for you, all right? All right? But you sit there, but when you cross over the border and you actually declare everything, or there's nothing to declare because you have nothing, you're just like, go ahead, search, do whatever you want. My conscience is clean before the Lord. Only because of Jesus Christ, man, you're crossing over the spiritual border from this life into the next. And you're like, my conscience is clean. Why? Because Christ is awesome. Because he died for me. Because all my sins, every single sin has been paid for because and by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a gift that is. Loved ones, draw near. You can't lose. You can't lose. We can't lose. Draw near. And then verse 22 says, bodies washed with pure water. Most likely referring here to the symbolism of baptism. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. So the child of God washed in the blood, drawn near, is drawing near, and then with the symbolism of the washing of baptism then. See, the person being baptized is the symbol of, in the past at some point, they were washed by the blood. And they symbolize that now with the washing of pure water as they come up from the grave, so to speak, and are raised to new life with Jesus Christ. It's so beautiful. We draw near with the Lord's Supper. We draw near with baptism, the two ordinances that Christ gave, the Lord's Supper And baptism of form, the symbol of that, we draw near saying, Jesus Christ has washed me clean. And I want my family to know that. I want people to know I love him. So loved ones, do you get the blood? If you get the blood, you do. And the first do is you draw near because of the blood. The second do is this. We got to hold fast with hope. We got to hold fast with hope. Notice, draw near with faith, now hope. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. What a beautiful passage. Again, notice, if we get the blood, draw near with faith, then hold fast with hope. The confession of our hope, the teachings of the gospel, the confession of Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. May I have to turn one page or not turn any page at all? Notice the inseparable connection between faith and hope. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we see here, when I get the blood, I draw near with faith and I hold fast to hope. Why? Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So because of what Jesus did, I hold to that because it's all I got. It's all I need. So we don't have as believers a, oh, I hope it works out in Christ. I'm crossing my fingers. No, 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 no. We have, I know it's true and I can't wait type of hope. Bring on glory. I'm ready. We don't have a hope that we're holding with two fingers lightly and dangling around. We have a hope in Christ that we're embracing and hugging and holding fast to because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Notice in verse 23, we hold fast to this hope without wavering. We're not leaning or wobbly, rather firm and fixed and certain. Why is this so important? We hold fast to life, and that's why the trials of life come. Because the trials of life test us to see what foundation we're really living upon. We can talk a big game. Anyone can do that. But trials of life test our game and test us to see where is our hope really built in. Because when we hold fast to hope, we're holding on to that which cannot be moved. We know it's the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that carries us along. And why is all this true? Faith and hope. And we hold fast to hope. How do we know we can hold fast to this? The end of verse 23. Can you see it? Because he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Let's do an exercise right now, okay? When faith looks at that statement, he who promised is faithful, faith believes that statement. He who promised is faithful. God is faithful. When hope looks at that statement, he who promised is faithful, hope says, I'm holding on to that because he who says and promises he's faithful cannot be anything other than faithful. Therefore, that truth is what I put my faith in, and that's what results in right feelings within my life. When faith and hope tackle the phrase, he who promised is faithful, right biblical, Christ-exalting, spirit-led feelings quickly ripen within your life and from your heart. This is Biblical Counseling 101. I want to make sure we get this because what I'm about to present to you is a principle for you for the rest of your life. Like the rest of your life. On the screen here, right here, notice this. It's in the terms of fact, faith, and feeling. Consider this. We build our lives upon that which we believe to be true, the authority of the word of God. That's our fact. We place our faith in what we know to be true. The word of God and its proper doctrine, understanding, this is our authority. This is our sufficiency. This is what guides us in all matters in terms of salvation and sanctification and righteousness in Jesus Christ. We don't have this, we're done. So I place my faith in the fact of the truth of the word of God. When my faith is in God's word, fact is the engine, faith is the train car, and feelings rightly follow the truth or the facts by faith I'm placing my trust in. Here's the problem. When we start living by feelings, feelings are a good caboose. It's a terrible engine, okay? When we start being led by feelings, We're being led by that which we deem to be true as opposed to the authority of God's word. When we start feeling our way around this life with TV shows and Oprah or whoever else it is, we're done. We're done because we're being misled by that which we can't guarantee is right at all. Just because we feel like it's a bad day doesn't mean it is a bad day. And just because we feel like it's a good day doesn't mean it's a good day. We know what we know, what God has said. And so we place our faith in the facts or the truth of God's word, and right feelings are a result of our faith in the facts of the word of God. So many believers wander around the circles of delusion because they're living by a feeling. You gotta root yourself in what is true. Biblical counseling 101 for the rest of your life. Now let's try it right now. Let's try it with this phrase. He who promised is faithful. Let's just try it. That statement is true. I believe it's true. It's in God's word. It's a fact. God is faithful. Now listen, this is where faith comes in. He's faithful regardless of my circumstances. He's faithful regardless if I approve of this or not. God's not faithful when I say he is. God is faithful because he is faithful. He's faithful regardless of my approval. He's faithful regardless of my understanding of my life or his faithfulness. Again, God is not subject to my conditions upon his faithfulness. The truth says he who promised is faithful. He's made promises. He's going to keep them. He is faithful. He is good to his word. Regardless of my expectations for my life, God is faithful. The faithfulness of God does not go up or down based on if my life is turning out the way I thought it should. It has nothing to do with it. God is faithful because God is faithful. He says he is faithful. He promised to be faithful. He is faithful. My faith is placed in the fact that God is faithful even when I can't see it. What happens is in your hardest times, when your faith is in the fact, you start to produce right feelings based upon what you believe to be true. Again, this is what happens. These are the questions faith has to answer. Do I believe God is faithful? Do I believe God's word? Do I believe that by faith? Do I believe that the blood of Christ will never let me down? Do I believe that I'll be disappointed when I see Christ face to face? Do I believe if I'm accusing God of being unfaithful to me in my life, this one life, do I believe I will stand face to face in judgment in Christ and accuse him of being unfaithful to me in my life? Do I believe I will do that? Do I believe I will complain to Jesus that he was unjust to me in my life when he forgave me for all my sins, but because my life didn't turn out the way I wanted to, do I believe I will stand before him and complain of his unjust treatment of me in my life? Do I believe I will do that? Well, anyone with any theological grounding whatsoever would say, I'd never, ever do that. Now, here's the key then. If you're never gonna do that in eternity, then why would you do that now? Then why would you do that now? Because if it's true then, it's true now. Why? Because I believe by faith, he who promised is faithful. You see what happens here? That's just a fact. That's just true. When I place my faith in the fact that he who promised is faithful, this produces right feeling. And the amazing part, even right now, many of us are producing right feelings based on faith being put in truth. Loved ones, for the rest of your life, you need this principle out in front of you. Every day of my life, I think about this stuff because I get voices like you do and I get temptations like you do and I get false teaching like you do every day. What's the truth? What's the truth? What's the truth? What's the truth? Place my faith in what is true and start to live. It's hard at times, but start to live with right feelings according to the glory of the Lord. If I get the blood, I hold fast by faith. If I get the blood, I draw near. Thirdly, this, if I get the blood, I stir up love. I stir up love. Look at now verse 24. And let us, here's the third let us. Notice, and let us consider. Let us consider now how to stir up one another to love and good works. The final let us is consider. This word is so important. We're learning today how we live out the blood of Jesus Christ. If I'm washed by the blood, here's how I live out the blood. And one of the great ways that I know if I'm living out the blood is if I'm considering others in love. Consider in this passage here is how we think, and we're learning how we think is how we live. Consider our world. Our world is constantly about self. When we consider self, we think about self. Why? We think about self because we love self. Now think about this Christmas season. This Christmas season, you will be tested on what you truly love and what you truly consider. When you pull into a parking lot, last minute shopping, there's one space there, and you're pulling, you think that you were there, and a car rushes in and pulls in front of you, you'll be tested on who you really love in that moment and who you consider. And when you're all filled with rage and you can't believe the injustice of that moment, that will tell you how much you love self, right? When you're in the grocery store and your kids love eggnog, and you go in, there's one left, and you go to reach for it, and some lady comes and bumps you out of the way and takes your eggnog from you, and you're in that moment, and you're just like filled with a furious and just so anger because she has stolen it. At that moment, you find out who you really love. You find out who you consider. When you're opening up Christmas presents on Christmas Day or whenever, and you get a gift on the outside, you're like, thanks. But inside, you're like, I don't want this gift. And you're grumpy. Why? Why? Because you love self. When you get hours delivered to you from the workplace that aren't convenient to your schedule, and you get really grumpy, and you're upset because it has inconvenienced you, the reason you and I are inconvenienced and upset about that is because ultimately, we love self. One of the ways we know we get the blood of Jesus Christ is when we consider others in love. It was like a week and a half ago, I was at a four-way stop, and I thought it was my turn to go, but apparently it wasn't. I started to go, and there's a car turning out in front of me, and they laid on their horn for, I kid you not, 10 seconds straight. And I'm just like, really, buddy? Like, really? Like, in that moment, as the horn was being laid upon my heart and mind and started to offend me seriously, as it kept going and going and going, it's amazing what happens inside of you. Like, it's amazing the feelings of offense and injustice, and I'll show you a horn, you know, like that kind of stuff. And you're there, and the thoughts through your mind, and I literally was going by, and I had to counsel myself, like, audibly, to say, Robbie, relax, you know? Because you're like, come here, man, I'll show you something. And I'll let you know what this is all about. But you're driving away, and you're like, dude. If you get walked over, if you are misunderstood, if you feel like you have suffered injustice, get over it, Robbie. Get over it. For the glory of God, this isn't about you. But the reason there's anger of temptation, there's a reason that I feel injustice because I love self. How dare you do that to me? How dare you? I'm just trying to go. How dare you lay your horn on me? Why? Because I'm a sinner. I am selfish. At the end of the day, I'm most tempted to love me. That's not a guy who's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When you get the blood, you consider how to stir others up in love. And that's what the text is saying here. And this is what's very exciting. Stir up sounds like, or means what it sounds like. It means to stimulate, to provoke in a good way. So loved ones, when we get, we're washed in the blood, we seek to stir up love. Stir up love in our spouses. Stir up love in our children. Stir up love in our homes. Stir up love in our family. Stir up love in our churches. Stir up love in small groups. Stir up love with strangers. Stir up love. When we get, the blood of Christ has washed us, we stir up love. People bump into us and we spill out love because that's what's within us. And notice the connection here. Draw near by the blood. Draw near, hold fast, stir up. Draw near, you spend time with Christ, you hold fast to hope, and you're walking out of your house, and you're ready to stir up some love for the Lord, to stir up some action for Jesus Christ and good works and love. I love that. But notice the author doesn't just leave it there, doesn't just say, okay, stir up love. He gives us three specific ways we are to stir up love if we get the blood of Jesus Christ. Three S's, three ups here as well. Here's the first one. Three ways we stir up love according to the church, or according to this text. Number one, show up the church. You got to show up. You got to show up. You got to show up to church. Notice the text says in verse 25, to stir up one another, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. So notice here, one of the great reasons we come to church. Now, this is amazing. One of the great and foremost reasons we come to church, according to this text, is in the consideration of others, because we are supposed to stir up love in others. So if I pull up the church and I'm just like, hey, where's my parking spot? How come I don't get my seat that I want to sit in? I hope they sing songs. I'm like, that pastor better preach a good sermon, or I'll be so disappointed. And if those people don't come out to me and greet me the way I want to, and if I don't get to sit, I mean, what is that? What is that? That is not someone who understands the blood of Jesus Christ. If I'm coming in here and this is just a consumerism act of just selfishness, what is that? It's wrong is what it is. One of the foremost reasons we come to church is how can I be an agent of blessing and love with the people that I'm about to meet? We should come with goals each weekend. I mean, a simple goal is to say, Lord, I'm coming to church this weekend, and my goal, I'm going to love one person fantastically and wonderfully, whether it's a very warm hug, or I'm going to go up and ask a question of interest to someone who needs to be cared for. Just the goal, I'm going to welcome a newcomer. I'm going to find someone until I find someone who's new and just bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to do an act of service. I'm going to serve. Whatever it is, we should come every weekend with a goal of loving, but you got to show up to church to do that. Not neglecting to meet together. It's amazing the people who convince themselves, I don't need church, I'll do it by myself. Really? Really? That's not biblical. This verse blows that apart. The people who drift away from church drift away from faith, drift away from hope, and most importantly, drift away from love. Because this is where we're not perfect, we know that. But this is where love is found and seen in the design of God for the glory of God. I need to stir up love. One of the first things, I gotta show up to church. Here's the second thing. I need to speak up, show up. Now speak up with encouragement. It says there, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, encouraging one another. How powerful is encouragement? So people who just sit on the sidelines waiting to be loved, they don't get the blood of Christ. I'm just going to sit here until someone loves me. I'm not loving anyone. I deserve to be loved. No, it's about me today. I'm going to make this all about me, man. I'm gonna, no one loves me. This church stinks. No. What is that? What is that? That's not Christ. Well, yeah, well, you don't. I don't. Well, if you make it about you, man, you're only destined for disappointment. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about him. The encouragement that's given. Okay, this just in. Ready? This just in. Sulking is not a fruit of the Spirit. I think some of us need to know that. I think we convince ourselves it is. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Encouraging one another. When I get the blood, I'm coming in to speak words of encouragement, to be a life of encouragement. Again, the goals that we should have as we meet together on a weekly or daily basis or bi-weekly, whatever that is, semi-weekly, coming together and encouraging one another. The expectation, I'm on a mission to show up. I'm on a mission to speak up. And then thirdly, I'm on a mission to stir up love by speeding up because the day is coming. This isn't speeding up and shop faster and drive faster and spin yourself into chaos more. No. This is speed up the love because the capital D day, do you see that? And encouraging one another, verse 25, and encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Capital D day, the return of Jesus Christ. The secret to get going, loved ones, there's no time to sleep, no time for slumber, no time for drunken stupors. No time for spiritual laziness. Wake up, look up, speed up. Capital D day is drawing near. It's time to stir up love. Question, how can you stir up love? Even before you leave this place today, how can you stir up love? Oh no, I want to make it about myself. You don't get the blood. I don't get the blood then. If I do that, I don't get the blood. But the ability to take the declaration of the blood of Jesus Christ and to see the obligation now. Because I've been washed by the blood of Jesus, the obligation, let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us stir up love. How beautiful that becomes.
Thanks so much for listening to Live in the Light. We found this ministry to be such a blessing to us as well as our listeners. Our mission here at Live in the Light is to see the radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. But that's only made possible by you, our listeners. We're kept on the air by your generous gifts and donations. If you're interested in giving to Live in the Light, you can do so on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-225-4448. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.